LPTV stations in smaller markets will soon have a chance to become primary, but there is a debate on how those small markets are going to be defined. Big news on this year's Grassroots Radio Conference, the dates have been set. A DC area TV station gets a dinger for public file violations and an FCC extra. The sale of the Big 1110 in Los Angeles. All that and more coming up.
REC, FCC Today, BG Bradley.
This is FCC Today, the podcast for Tuesday, June 13, 2023. Reply comments in MB Docket 23-126, the implementation of the Low Power Protection Act, are due today. Enacted earlier this year by Congress, the LPPA opens an opportunity for low-power TV stations in small designated market areas with less than 95,000 television households to be able to convert to a Class A status, which affords them primary protection from future displacement. REC's reply comments in this proceeding are centered around a suggestion by the LPTV Broadcasters Association to use market boundaries different than the established Nielsen DMA boundaries. Specifically, the LPTVBA wants to use metropolitan statistical areas and rural service areas as those boundaries. In opposition, REC stated that the LPTV Broadcasters Association is trying to roll back the clock by utilizing a system that was used back in the 1980s and 1990s to designate the boundaries for the original cellular mobile telephone service, a method that was developed using vintage 1980s census data. REC also addressed the comments made by News Press and Gazette Broadcasting, suggesting the use of ComScore as an alternative to Nielsen. REC stated that the cellular service boundaries are based on 1980s era definitions as set forth by the Office of Management and Budget, and which have been replaced, and that the rural service boundaries used by the FCC in the 1980s are centered around local calling areas and other attributes of wireline telephone service. In addition, the data from the Census Bureau does not track the number of television households as the legislation expects. REC did state that the use of ComScore market boundaries and data would include information on television households and would be more comparable to Nielsen data. We'll have more reply comments in this proceeding on a future episode. Dates for this year's Grassroots Radio Conference have been announced. The Grassroots Radio Conference is an independent meeting of community broadcasters from across the country, which includes low-power and full-service broadcast stations, streamers, and others who have an interest in the grassroots radio and media justice movements. Due to the pandemic, the past few conferences were conducted virtually using video conference, but this year, the GRC moves back to in-person. This year's GRC will be in Charleston, West Virginia, and is scheduled for October 19 through October 22, 2023. This year's GRC will be hosted by WTSQLP. GRCs normally include workshops with topics including production techniques, legal and regulatory issues, station management, as well as the use of radio to address current events. With the potential of an LPFM filing window coming up, this year's GRC may be a great place for prospective broadcasters to help get their feet wet and get some basic training on the community radio model. The GRC also serves as the annual meeting of Pacifica Network affiliates. More information about this year's GRC will come out later. Stay tuned to all REC Network's channels for more information about this conference. Hey, it's Michi with a reminder. If you're listening to this on the Michelle Bradley YouTube channel, please remember to like this video, subscribe to the channel, and hit the notification dinger to be reminded of future content, both oral and visual. Thank you again for your support. While radio broadcast stations who have failed to meet their quarterly obligations for the Commission's Online Public Inspection File, or OPIF, are normally settled with a consent decree and no civil penalty. This is not the same for television. Entravision Holdings, LLC, licensee of WJAL Silver Spring, Maryland, has been issued a notice of apparent liability for $18,000 for failing to timely file their quarterly issues and programs lists. They also failed to timely file required children's television programming reports. In their license renewal application, Entravision did disclose that several issues lists and children's television reports were not timely uploaded into OPIF. A staff review showed that Entravision filed 10 issues lists more than 1 year late, and four additional lists filed more than 1 month and less than 1 year late. They also filed three quarterly children's television programming reports over 1 year late. In 2019, the FCC modified the rules and now only requires an annual children's television report as opposed to quarterly reports. Entravision noted that the bulk of the late filed items took place during the time when the FCC undertook the reverse auction and post-auction procedures related to the TV channel repack. In the reverse auction, the station did relinquish their spectrum usage rights and entered into a channel sharing agreement with TV station WUSA, Washington, D.C. As a result of the confusion over the station's operational responsibilities as a channel sharing licensee, Entravision inadvertently failed to prepare and upload the required documents to OPIF. Entravision stated that they have taken actions to ensure that failure to timely upload documents does not reoccur in the future. Entravision has 30 days to dispute the commission's findings and to request a reduction or cancellation of the proposed forfeiture. In the latest update from the FCC regarding Guam, we saw a slight increase in the number of down cell sites, going from 61 to 65 cell sites, or 20% of all sites on the island. 252 cable and wireline subscribers have been restored, bringing that number down to 2,326. The FCC has extended the waiver of the Citizens Broadband Radio Service rules to Federated Wireless due to the continuing commercial power crisis on the island. The FCC originally granted the waiver on May 30, 2023, which exempts Federated from certain regulations that require the operators in this 3.5 gigahertz service to include systems that monitor frequencies for incumbent federal users before transmitting. During the waiver period, Federated is following conditions that require coordination of operations with the Department of Defense. Yesterday's order extends their waiver until July 28 or unless power is restored prior to that day. The disaster information reporting system remains activated for Guam.
FCC Extra. Beachy Bradley. Oldies 1110. KRLA. Pasadena.
Grown up in Southern California, and so obviously the area is very near and dear to me. And of course, while I was there, I listened to a lot of radio, especially in the 80s and into the 90s. And, you know, during that time, I would listen to stations like KFI back when they played music and they had Loman and Barkley in the morning, Light of My Life and all that. And Dr. Ruth Westheimer in the evenings with Sexually Speaking. Yeah, God, I remember those days. And, you know, so I'd listen to KFI. I'd listen to the Mighty 690. I would also listen to KFWB and KNX back when they were all news. You know, on the FM side, I would listen to KISS. I would listen to KKHR, also to KMET when Dr. Demento's on. But I'd also listen to KRLA. KRLA, during that time, they were, you know, the oldies format. They, it was Humble Harv, Huggy Boy and them. I mean, those were the good old days of radio. And, you know, KRLA has a very interesting history, going back to being one of the big competitors to KFWB back in those days of of top 40 radio. And, you know, in 1964, the license for KRLA was revoked because of allegations of contest fraud and foreign ownership and such. And then they would eventually come back under several, you know, under interim owners. And then eventually things were made a little more permanent. And then, you know, the station would eventually get sold to Disney and would become the flagship station for Radio Disney. And, you know, this was at a time when Radio Disney was around. They put in stations all over the country. They got all these AM stations, both as O&Os and as well as affiliates to Radio Disney. And they really did a humdinger on Children's Radio Network, the people who ran Radio Oz, to the point of where there was litigation and such like that. I mean, it was a real, I mean, the House of Mouse really did a screwy deal on Radio Oz. I was a fan of Radio Oz and still kind of miss that station. It was fun. It was fun to listen to. Anyway, the word came down yesterday that the 1110 spot on the dial, which is currently running KRDC, which is the Disney Country format. Anyway, the station's been assigned to Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, not to be confused with Calvary Chapel of Twin Falls, which is the big broadcaster that has stations and translators all over the place, as well as CSN International. This is the Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, which runs KWVE 107.9 down in San Clemente. The station kind of has a mediocre signal going into the Los Angeles area, into the basin, especially into the valley. They've been very overprotective of their 107.9 spot, and they have filed objections against LPFMs. They've filed objections against translators that have tried to go on 107.9. Even those that are like way out of the area from where they're at. It's sad to see the way that stations go, but you know, times change. And, you know, for those that say that there's no value in AM radio, we got to look at the circumstances. Now, of course, we just had a sale here out here on Delmarva of WCEM AM. That was licensed to Cambridge, Maryland, small town, maybe about, 20, 30,000-ish people. Was it 1240? I think it is. That sold for $10,000. Fire sale prices, I don't think that included the tower. Tower, from my understanding, was in disrepair. However, this deal involving KRDC 1110 in Los Angeles, Pasadena is technically the city of license for the station, this went in market number 2 for $5 million. So at least there is still some value in an AM station in a major market. And I mean, $5 million may seem like a drop in the bucket for a Los Angeles station. Imagine if this was an FM station. Imagine this was one of the Mount Wilson FM stations, what that would go for. Definitely would not be $5 million. It would definitely be a lot more. But it just goes to show you that, you know, things do change. And, you know, while I'm not too happy that Calvary Costa Mesa has got this frequency, at least they're keeping AM radio alive and well. I mean, this station can go away like the average of one a week that's been going away on the AM dial. So at least we're seeing that people are investing in AM radio, even if it's a $10,000 deal on a small class C in a smaller town, or $5 million in the big city. So there we go. $5 million for 1110 in Los Angeles.
Now, get that baby bullshit off the air and let's boogie, partner.
Now, K9 Kid Power Radio leaves the air forever. This is Billy Squirrel tucking you in nighty night.
FCC today.
Did you really make it this far? Good. FCC Today, the podcast, has been a production of REC Networks, always on at recnet.com. The podcast is available through Podbean, TuneIn, Apple Podcasts, iHeart, and on the Michelle Bradley YouTube channel. If you're watching on YouTube, please like and subscribe to this channel. Hit the notification dinger to be informed of new episodes. Keep up to the minute with events around the Media Bureau at fcc.today. If you need assistance with an FM broadcast facility, call 202-621-2355. I'm Michelle Bradley, KU3N, SBE Certified Broadcast Technologist. Thank you for listening.
REC.